It is girls, much more so than boys, who dream of romance. You have only to look at the magazines that cater to young women's dreams, at the creations of dress designers, and at the perfume counter to fully appreciate how much of a girl's time is spent in dreaming of the handsome hero who will sweep her off her feet, carry her away to a castle, make her his wife forever. That is the dream nearly every girl has to reconcile with reality. The handsome prince turns out to be human with his share of faults. The castle usually turns into a bungalow with a 30-year mortgage. Nevertheless, the wise wife appreciates this far more than 1,000 images of fairy book happiness. So indeed does the mature unmarried girl. As she goes to work each morning, she looks at a line of washing, at wives kissing their husbands goodbye, at their children hurrying off to school. The unmarried girl sighs, wishing with all her heart that she was one of those enviable women. A wife, a mother, with a house, a husband, and children to call her own. That same girl tells herself that when she gets married, her happiness and love will be carefully guarded, cherished, a constant and wonderful richness inside her. But something happens, as the records of so many marriages show. Something goes wrong somewhere. Rarely does it happen suddenly. The first glow of marriage happiness wears away almost unnoticed. Everything that makes that woman's life worthwhile, her home, the husband who loves her, the children who try so hard to please her, become taken for granted. Too often, marriage becomes a trap, or worse. Just as good fruit decays when handled improperly, so does marriage happiness ebb away when that marriage is damaged by careless handling and wrong attitudes. The fault is never that of the wife or husband alone. Usually, both marriage partners are guilty. We'll get to husbands in a moment, to the errors they commit, thus wrecking the happiness of their marriage. Right now, we will deal with the 10 major faults of wives in this respect. Taken for granted, of course, is the Christian belief that marriage is indissoluble, that it is a solemn contract entered into freely before God and man. The marriage begun with the escape clause that, oh well, if it doesn't work out, I can always get a separation, is doomed from the start. Anyone entering marriage with that notion is like a man enlisting in the army with the thought that if army life isn't exactly what he's looking forward to, he can always quit. Long before the first month of peeling potatoes is ended, he wants to quit. So the wives we are talking to here are the women who once had a shining and lovely dream that led to marriage, and who, without perhaps knowing why, have contributed to dulling that age-old dream. These 10 common faults of wives, it might be added, were originally compiled by the Ligurian magazine, and there is no doubt of their authenticity. Laziness, which leads to untidiness, ranks as among the worst faults of those wives whose marriages are unhappy. Naturally, a certain confusion and disorder are inescapable in a home with several small children. The guilty wife in this respect is one who does not give the same effort to her housekeeping as she knows her husband must give to his work, or which she herself would be expected to give to her job if she were employed away from the home. Love surely is of persons, but it blooms better amidst pleasant surroundings. The lazy and untidy wife neglects even to keep a semblance of order around her home. Dishes are left piled in the sink. The furniture is always askew. The floors are left littered with soiled clothing, toys, containers, anything and everything. There is no invitation for a husband to cuddle up beside that wife as in days of yore. He can't even find room on the cluttered Chesterfield to sit down by himself. In time, he no longer sees the eyes he used to love. His gaze of necessity has to be on putting down one foot carefully after another. The second common sin of wives is the familiar one, nagging. The woman guilty of this marriage spoiler is convinced she has a sacred mission in marriage. Not to add to her husband's security and happiness, as she wants him to add to hers, but to make him over into the man she thinks he ought to be. Telling a husband what is wrong with him either intensifies his faults or causes the husband to seek escape in whatever way he can. In work, in drinking, sometimes even in another woman. An appreciative woman, you can be sure. The third type of wife who finds something gone wrong with her marriage is the petulant, self-pitying, or tearful wife. She is the wife who comes to the inescapable conclusion she was tricked into marriage or coerced into marrying the wrong man. Other women have no troubles in marriage at all. She's got them all. Other women get everything. She doesn't even get appreciation. Sometimes, she simply puts on the air of a martyr. Other wives of this type can dissolve into tears in 1 second flat. This type of wife should grow up. She might do well to take a look at some wives who scrub floors because their husbands have TB or have been injured in accidents, and who, as they scrub, beg a merciful God to keep those men they love alive and unvanquished by their sense of failure. The tantrum-throwing wife is a grown-up sister to the tearful wife. She may not indulge in daily bouts of self-pity, but what she lacks in quantity, she makes up for in quality. In her sudden tantrum, she will give vent to unreasonable anger, defiance, resentment, all expressed in terms of heavy sarcasm, and often enough, blatant profanity. This is not to imply that a wife, like anyone else, may not become a bit peeved or angry at times. The tantrum-throwing wife is just as apt to flare at the children as at her husband, even more so if she feels she can hurt him more by hurting them. She will scream, act with savage cruelty, sometimes shout she wishes they had never been born. True, she may not mean a word of her wild utterances. She may break her heart with regret for the things she did and said. But what she should do is remember the meekness of Christ, who told us to learn from him because he was meek and humble of heart. He, the living God, valued patience and peace. How much store should husbands and wives especially set on it? By temperament, some wives are inclined to be dominating in marriage. They watch the domineering instinct very carefully during courtship days, for no man likes bossing, even when his living depends on it. Much less does he enjoy it when his loving is at stake. It is only men of deep Christian virtues who submit to this handpacking at all. The cost, however, as too many women find out, is a love that eventually grows indifferent and cold. The next great fault of wives, at least as it destroys marriage happiness, is extravagance. Husbands may be cursed with a penny-pinching nature. They may not realize that there are things outside the realm of necessity that they should never begrudge their wives. And we shall talk to husbands about this later. But the extravagant wife is the one who will not try to budget within her husband's income. She must have the best, not only of necessities, but of luxuries. It is more important to keep up with the Joneses than it is to make the load a little lighter for the man who spends his life working for her and for their children. Love can be killed. Certainly, a husband who has to work overtime because of an extravagant wife, who lies awake worrying because his family's security is threatened by a free-spending wife who will not care, that husband soon has little energy or heart left for romance. Close sister to the extravagant wife is the economically dissatisfied wife. The one so unwilling to make do with her husband's income that she gives him no peace, pesters him to demand a raise, wants him to change jobs until he is on the verge of a nervous breakdown. There are plenty of husbands who need a little prodding from their wives who can profitably listen to her advice and suggestions. The wife we are worried about is a different type. She may finally go to work for herself, leaving small children, her most priceless assets, to be raised by someone else, when there is no truly compelling necessity to do so. The price she pays is truly tragic. Rarely do her children do well, even in their schoolwork. Her marriage often becomes meaningless, for it takes a wife and mother in the home to make a marriage. A woman who leaves in the morning and comes home at night is too often a wife in status only, not in spirit. The jealous wife, jealous not only of a husband's casual courtesies to other women, but jealous of his affection for his relatives, jealous even of time he gives to friends, can ruin her marriage much faster than she ever dreams. Love is always a giving of self. The more you love, the more you have to love. A wife who knows she is first and special in her husband's affections should appreciate him all the more because he is generous to others, because he has deep friendships. In short, because he is not selfish in giving of himself or his time or his talents to help make others happy. Even in this age when sex is supposed to sell everything, there are still wives with wrong attitudes about sex. Sex is one of the most glorious drives in man. The sex urge was given by God. In marriage, it is blessed by God. In fact, it is precisely because sex is God-given and blessed that it is sinful to misuse it. No woman can ever give her husband a greater gift than her physical love, in thought, word, and deed, to be his and his alone, all the years they are together. No Christian husband but knows the value of that gift. In return, he gives his wife his love alone. He is considerate at all times. In their marital love, they truly become, as God commanded, two people in one flesh. A wife who fears having children, a wife who uses sex as a bargaining lever, a wife who has been brought up with the wrong notions about sex, considering it shameful or a burdensome part of marriage, has certainly much to learn of true love. It is herself she cheats, most of all. Women who recognize that the wrong sexual attitudes are ruining their marriage can seek the advice of clergymen, doctors, even psychiatrists, if their trouble is neurotic. Every wife, like every husband, especially in this age when sex is peddled cheaply in too many bestsellers and on too many movie screens, should find time to study it in its proper light. A gift from the God of love and life, meant for married people as the great chalice of their marital love and the great compensation for the sacrifices they must make to raise their children. Finally, among the 10 worst faults of wives, there is that of escapism. Oftentimes, the girl who couldn't wait to be married becomes the wife who can't get out of the house fast enough. Some insist on going back to their old jobs. Others plunge into a whirligig of political, social, civil, charitable, and other activities above and beyond anything expected by society. Still others settle for a round of parties, unnecessary trips, anything that will take them out of the home. They seek their happiness outside marriage. Small wonder they find less of it in marriage. Good husbands, trying to make up for the escapism of their wives, are saddled with extra work. Other husbands soon seek escape also from the mess these wives have made of their home life. From the wife's point of view, those then are the faults that take the worst tolls of marriage happiness. If any of them have cast their shadow on your happiness, face them squarely. Eradicate them. You can do it, especially if you will ask the help of him who blessed that wedding long ago at Cana in Galilee. The God who elevated Christian marriage to the high and holy sacramental state. You can do it if you will remember the dream you once had, if you will realize you will never again be given those years to enjoy the deep happiness of married life, if you will remind yourself again and again that when you lose love through your own fault, you lose the only thing you had in life that really was worthwhile. If woman, by her created nature and her God-given role, is called to be the warmth and heart of every marriage, the husband remains the head, the objective thinker, the provider, the rudder that guides the ship. Every woman in love truly looks up to the man she married. Experts on the subject have been amazed to find how new wives copy their husbands, becoming almost exactly what their husbands encouraged them to be, for better or for worse. Man, therefore, has a tremendous responsibility in marriage. The rule that should guide him is the age-old rule of love. Truly, it has been said that woman was created from her husband's rib, and no husband is ever truly happy until his wife is held close to his heart again. In this part of our truth tape concerning the laws for marriage happiness, we must now deal with the faults and shortcomings of many husbands today. In marriage, like their wives, they may be influenced by the pressure of the times, by the flood of immorality rampant around them, by many factors completely alien to God's design for married happiness. Husbands, even more so than their wives, have to face the fact that they, more than any other single factor, can change the world about them by setting an example that will make their family a cornerstone of strength for their community and country, and a pillar of happiness for themselves. Where, then, do so many husbands fail? There is, first of all, the failure to realize that marriage means the union of two bodies, two minds, and two souls. A wife is entitled to more than mere faithfulness. She is entitled to a man's deepest comradeship, to his trust, to his help and guidance when she needs it most. His duty is not ended when he simply hands out his paycheck to finance a home and provide for his family. The 8 hours of day he spends at his job are only half of what a wife and mother must spend looking after the home and children. Every husband must realize that he would work those hours even if he was not married. He owes his marriage, which means his family, a goodly part of the rest of his day. Above everything else, he must take an interest in raising the children, in disciplining them, in teaching them to grow into the men and women he one day expects them to be. When his wife is tired, discouraged, he owes her at the very least the same helping hand he would readily extend to his friend. By now, we hope this type of husband sees the point clearly. The money-pinching husband takes autocratic charge of family finances. In a benevolent mood, he may allow his wife the price of a hairdo once a year. If he values money more than love, he will in time ask himself what happiness it brings when nobody really cares, when nobody loves him as one woman once wanted to love him with all her heart and soul. There is the husband who thinks he is entitled to his nights out and his days off, but seldom, if ever, thinks his wife might look one day away from her domestic duties, one meal that wasn't her own cooking, just a little time once in a while to feel like a free person again. Opposite of the husband who thinks he's a slave for working 8 hours a day is the husband who's more married to his job than to the warm-blooded woman who married him for love. Marriage is the important job for husband as for wife, and any man who feels otherwise has no right to marry. Much could be said about the husband who never took seriously God's injunction to forsake all others and cling only to his wife till death does them part. Periodically, you find a husband still tied to his mother's apron strings, or still a slave to selfish relatives. It is a good thing for a husband to remain kind and helpful to his first family, but after marriage, whenever a choice arises, a husband's first consideration is to his wife, who also left her family and loved ones to begin the life God created her to begin with her husband and in her own home. Another great fault of some unthinking husbands is an unreasonable and definitely unchristian attitude toward sex. The pagan attitude is born of the notion that women are the playthings of men. The Christian concept is one of true equality, wherein a wife is idealized, cherished, and truly loved. Wives are co-creators with God, and despite the downgrading of sex that is so common today, men must learn anew real tenderness and reverence for the willing gift of their wives' bodies. When a wife is ill, either physically or mentally, when she is overburdened with caring for the children they already have, for any good reason, her husband should love her enough to moderate, or if necessary, dispense with marital relations. Notice, we said for any good reason. If a doctor, for example, advised against marriage relations for the sake of the wife's health. Conversely, the very last thing any husband would do is suggest his wife practice contraception. an act inherently repulsive to the life-giving nature of woman. The man who in courtship understood enough of the relationship between the sexes to make the proposals toward love and marriage must become the husband who understands his obligations to make the union between man and wife a source of real joy and happiness to both. Seventh and eighth on the list of offending husbands are the drinkers and gamblers. A man does not have to become an alcoholic to wreck his home. Surveys, in fact, show that because unreasonable drinking cost a man his wife's love, that irreparable loss often leads in turn to alcoholism. The disease of gambling, whether born of a desire to enjoy popularity at any cost or of a streak of immaturity, wherein a man deludes himself into dreams of getting rich fast at the racetrack, can keep the best wife in a state of nail-biting and petrified anxiety. In either of these pastimes, if they have reached the point of hurting marriage happiness or interfering with normal family life and the security of the home, they should be discontinued immediately. Husbands, ask yourselves, which is worth more, a hangover and a heavy heart, or the love of those who love you as no one else will ever love you on earth? There is, as among wives, the jealous husband, the one who begrudges his wife the normal friendship of her own relatives, the pleasure of friends she made before marriage, a normal contact with other adults around her. The husband who thinks he can only keep his wife's loyalty and fidelity by imprisoning her in their home turns her love to hate, turns their home into hell. The 10th great fault of husbands, and endless are the husbands who are guilty of it, is a lack of manifestation of love. "Do you love me, John?" a wife will beg, because love is her whole reward for what she does. "Sure I love you," John will retort, "but don't bother me. I'm watching the baseball game." Love is telling the one you love that you love her many times in many different ways. What man is there whose heart doesn't miss a beat when even his own children say impulsively, "Daddy, I love you"? How much more do those three little words mean to a wife who hungers to hear a word of praise for a meal she has prepared, who hungers to hear again a compliment on her appearance, but most of all, who needs to know, to hear, that her husband loves her, because in marriage, love is her beginning, her end, and to her way of thinking, the true evaluation of the success or failure of her lifetime. Before marriage, a boy and a girl never tire of devising new words of love, new ways of pleasing their beloved. Husbands and wives, as it was in the beginning of your love, let it now be in the fullness of your union. So let it be to the end, till eternity begins, and your souls know at last how earthly love was a faint reflection of the endless love that one day was to come.